Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
Big shoes to fill, but they're filled. Leadership changes at the AFL-CIO. Don't expect a clean room every day at a Hilton hotel. What Unite Here is saying, and today on the show, the new Secretary-Treasurer of the Labor Federation, what one group is doing about workers dying in the heat, and the latest from the Transportation Trades Department of the AFL-CIO. Welcome to the Monday, August 23rd edition of America's Workforce, where we are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, as well as Pandora. And today, we have three guests on the show today, and for very good reason. I was so happy to hear on Friday that Fred Redmond, currently the International Vice President for Human Affairs for the Steelworkers, was named as Secretary Treasurer of the 12.5 million member Labor Federation. Here's the deal, and I'll get into the specifics in a moment. But Liz Shuler, she is going to keep the position as president. When Rich Trumka died 2.5 weeks ago, she automatically became president. She will stay president until the convention next year, which I believe is in the middle of June. Fred's going to take over her position, and Tafer Gebre, number three position, he'll stay intact. And we're going to have Fred on the show today. That's right. He's been with the steelworkers since 1973, and his record is unbelievable. In 1996, he was appointed to the international staff of the steelworkers and service locals in District 7, that's in the Chicago area. In 1998, he was transferred to the union's international headquarters in Pittsburgh, and he's been there ever since. He's been on the show many, many times. He's really excited about his position. I'm going to read some statements here from various union leaders about Fred taking over that position. Peter Dooley will be joining us as our second guest, and he is the safety and health project coordinator for National COSH. Now, this is an organization that deals with workplace safety. It's the National Organization for Safety and Health. And last week, on Thursday, they did a speak out on Arizona's workplace heat crisis. A number of officials came forward and union members. One of them was Shannon Foley, a member of IATSE Local 415, also a volunteer with the Arizona Coalition for Occupational Safety and Health. July was the hottest month ever recorded, with temperatures in Arizona topping 100 degrees. And then you have the drought and wildfire conditions throughout the state. The extreme temperatures, which is a result, let's be honest here, climate change, will be a fact of life for years to come. So we need some guidelines in place. And still, we'll talk in detail with Peter on this. Right now, OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, is reviewing what needs to be done. And the last time I heard, it's going to be about October when they come up with a plan. Right now, though, people are dying. You know what happened in the Pacific Northwest, Oregon, Washington. I mean, temperatures there usually in the spring and summer, 65, 75. It was 115. 115. One of the people they were talking about at that conference 4 years ago, 95 degree temperatures. This was in Tucson, Arizona. A worker was building a platform for an outdoor concert. The worker, whose name advocates are withholding because he both fears retribution and being barred from future jobs, was putting 4x8 decks up after lunch, and then he collapsed from heat exhaustion and hasn't been at work since. That's just one example. Then there's others that died. So Peter Dooley will get into all of this. He's got an interesting background. He worked for the UAW, International Union, coordinating educational programs for more than 20 years. Previously, he worked for Michigan State University in labor education. He is currently providing educational services to OSHA, the steelworkers, National Kosh Network, and many other organizations and institutions. And he's also consulted in the meatpacking industry. That was a disaster during the pandemic as well. Greg Regan will be joining us later in the show. And he's one of our regulars. He is president of the Transportation Trades Department of the Labor Federation, which is an organization consisting of 33 unions that represent workers in all areas of transportation. And the TTD, website is ttd.org, they focus on federal legislation, regulatory matters, policy issues, all that impact transportation workers. One of the stories we're going to get into is an announcement by the National Highway Safety Administration into Tesla's autopilot self-driving features. This is pretty fascinating. And Greg is happy that there's going to be an investigation because he says for years, transportation unions have warned against the perils of using our streets as an unregulated proving ground for new technologies without regard for safety or accountability for the protection of other road users. He goes on to say that Tesla's total disregard for the safety of their drivers and those around them has made them the poster child for these warnings. And if you go back 4 years, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration has opened 30 investigations into Tesla crashes involving 10 deaths, which is a clear demonstration that Tesla has made unsuspecting road users their crash test dummies using unproven autopilot features. Okay, driverless cars. I think we have a way to go on that. And you know they're pushing the envelope on that one. So Greg is going to get into some detail on that. All right, let me run down what happened on Friday here. The AFL-CIO Executive Council elected current Secretary Treasurer Liz Schuler, now the Federation's acting president, to hold the top job through its convention next year. Now, Liz, been on the show a number of times. She comes from the IBEW, Local 125, Portland, Oregon. And here's the significance of this. She becomes the first woman to officially head the nation's largest labor federation. In its August 20th session, the council elected Fred Redman, steelworker vice president, to succeed her in the number two spot, secretary treasurer. With current executive VP Taffer Gebreg, who will continue in that job, at least through the convention, the changes mean the federation leadership team includes for the first time no white men. None. Redman will be the Federation's first black in its number two job. Gebre comes from the Teamsters and AFSCME and is a naturalized citizen and a refugee from Ethiopia. The Fed's board had to act, obviously, after Rich Trumka died of a heart attack on August 5th. He made one last trip to the AFL-CIO afterwards, lying in repose in his coffin in the Federation lobby. That was on August 14th as tributes poured in from all over the world. Liz issued this statement, "I am humbled, honored, and ready to guide this Federation forward. I believe in my bones the labor movement is the single greatest organized force for progress. This is a moment for us to lead societal transformations, to leverage our power, to bring women and people of color from the margins to the center, at work, in our unions, and in our economy, and to be the center of gravity for incubating new ideas that will unleash unprecedented union growth." And then there's Fred. I could not be more excited to get to work with President Shuler so we can build on the labor movement's legacy of change, writing a new chapter that brings the promise of union membership to workers across the country. This is the right team at the right time to help bring about the economic and social justice America is hungry for. Comment here from Tom Conway. Tom is president of the Steelworkers Union. He said the following: "We are incredibly proud that the Executive Council selected USW International Vice President Fred Redmond to serve as its Secretary Treasurer alongside Liz Shuler as president. Fred is a decades-long union activist with a proven commitment to both negotiating good contracts and advancing civil and human rights, including through his recent work as chair of the AFL-CIO Task Force on Racial Justice. We know he will bring the same passion and dedication to his new position." And Tom wrapped up by saying, "Workers across our nation are facing unprecedented challenges, and we are deeply grateful to Fred for assuming this role, even as he continues his work with the steelworkers. Rich Trumka's passing reverberated throughout the labor movement, but despite our grief, I know Fred, like all of us, is committed to ensuring the AFL-CIO's vital mission goes uninterrupted." And as I indicated, Fred's going to be joining us from his hotel room in Washington in a couple of minutes. Hilton rooms. I hope he's not staying at a Hilton. God, this story just baffles me. Hotel rooms should be cleaned every day, right? That's what hotel guests have come to expect and love. But as tourism is coming back, Hilton wants to end this standard and eliminate housekeepers' jobs. Guests and health experts want more cleaning, not less. Come on, we're still in a pandemic, right? However, Hilton recently announced the end of automatic daily housekeeping, a drastic cut to cleaning services when they've never been more important. What's going to happen here? It will eliminate up to an estimated 39% of all U.S. hotel housekeeping jobs, which are overwhelmingly held by women of color, while making housekeepers' workloads more painful and forever changing the traveling experience for guests. In the meantime, it's not like they can't afford it. Hilton doubled the pay of their CEO, Chris Nassetta, to $55 million last year while the pandemic was going on. Lisa Cruz is a member of Unite Here. She said guests still pay high prices for a room, but Hilton thinks it can take advantage of a crisis to make standard services on demand. "This makes my job more painful because the rooms get so much dirtier when they go days without cleaning, and I have to use stronger chemicals to get them clean to reach our high standard." They're ridiculous, I'm telling you. One more here, too. We had John Schlois on the show last week, who is president of the News Guild, and they are on fire just organizing people left and right. In the last year, they organized close to 1,600 people. Well, they're continuing that trend. Digital producers at the Atlantic Digital Optimization Team have voted to be represented by the News Guild of New York, CWA Local 31003. The election was supervised by the National Labor Relations Board that concluded last Wednesday. Good stuff there. Keep it going there, John. All right, I got to take a quick break. When we come back, the new Secretary Treasurer of the AFL-CIO, Mr. Fred Redmond.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with prostate, breast, or any other cancer after taking Zantac? You may be entitled to compensation. The trial lawyers at Kelly & Ferraro may be able to help you. Find us at kellyandferraro.com. Kelly & Ferraro, trial lawyers.
Hire union musicians. Call Music Talent of Cleveland at 216-881-1802. Call Music Talent of Cleveland as your dependable source for professional musicians in Northeast Ohio. Union musicians add harmony to weddings, elegance to parties, and uplifting music for all events. Music Talent of Cleveland contracts solo and ensemble musicians as well as bands and orchestras for single engagements. So hire union musicians. Call Music Talent of Cleveland today. 216-881-1802.
Chris LaGrange here, host of UCOM Live with Chris LaGrange. News, talk, sports, and workforce politics. The fastest growing podcast on, in, and around the internet. Join us live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter with archives on UCOMLive.com. Our loud and colorful panelists bring you current events like no other. So follow and subscribe today wherever great podcasts are found.
This segment of America's Workforce is brought to you by Survey and Ballot Systems. SBS has been providing unions with secure and flexible election options for over 30 years. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com to learn more.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle is at AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the North Coast Area Labor Federation, all part of the National AFL-CIO. Speaking of which, let's go to Washington right now. And joining us is the new Secretary Treasurer of the Labor Federation. And I'll tell you, he's no stranger to this show. His name is Fred Redmond, longtime contributor, and has been a member of the Steelworkers since 1973, currently holds a position as a Vice President of International Affairs, Human Affairs, I should say. And I have to say, number one, congratulations, Mr. Fred Redmond. This is a great accomplishment for you.
Well, thanks a lot, Flash. I really appreciate it. Yeah, my career just took a little detour, but I really appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Well, I have to ask you one thing here. You're in a hotel. Are you staying at a Hilton hotel? I have to ask that question, and I'll explain why in a second, all right?
Yeah, the AFL-CIO's booked me in a Hilton hotel, and I think, Wanda, this is my official first day on the job.
Okay,
I think one of my first assignments this morning is going to be, why the hell they put me in a hotel where they're not cleaning the rooms and workers who belong to Unite Here are not being allowed to work. So anyway, you could tell the AFL-CIO was in transition.
Okay, I understand that. Well, is your room clean? Let me ask that question.
The room is clean, Flash, okay. But I got to be here 5 nights, so ask me that by the end of the week.
Okay. We'll check in with you on Friday and make sure that they get the workers here. I know they're saying that 39% of domestic workers, and many of them are women of color, and they could lose their jobs because the CEO of Hilton's making $55 million a year. I mean, you've heard that story many times.
Right.
But, hey, this is an awesome feat for you. I mean, so many years with the Steelworkers. Couple of questions here. Now, are you staying with the Steelworkers for a while? I mean, this is a transition. Explain the whole process to me, Fred.
Well, the process right now, Flash, is I will remain as Vice President of Human Affairs for the Steelworkers and the Secretary Treasurer of the AFL-CIO. So I'll be splitting my time between both organizations. I have some obligations and responsibilities that I'm committed to the United Steelworkers, such as I'm getting ready to begin at the end of September bargaining a contract with Huntington Ingalls, our shipyard at Newport News, Virginia, which is our largest local union and our largest contract. And then we also have an election coming up in November. So the plan right now is I will remain on the ballot as a Vice President of Human Affairs for the Steelworkers. And I will be helping the transition of Leah Shuler into the Secretary Treasurer's office of the, I'm sorry, as Secretary Treasurer of the AFL-CIO, I will be working with her on the transition as president. So I'll be splitting my time between the two organizations. And after the first of the year, I'll really start the process of transitioning over to the full-time with the AFL-CIO.
And Fred, the position of Secretary Treasurer, can you explain to our listeners what that's going to entail?
Sure. Well, the position of Secretary Treasurer is the second highest position within the AFL-CIO. And the Secretary Treasurer have financial and fiduciary responsibilities regarding the AFL-CIO finances. Within the constitution of the AFL-CIO, there's a very strong check and balance system of the finances between the President's office and the Secretary Treasurer's office. And the Secretary Treasurer's office really assists the President in the execution of her duties. But the key responsibility is the responsibility over the finances of the AFL-CIO.
And you are in this position at least until, what is it, June of next year? Is that right, when they have their...
Yeah, until June of next year. The AFL-CIO's convention will be held in Philadelphia in June. And then at that time, the delegates to that convention will elect new officers for a full four-year term.
Gotcha. All right. I know your head's spinning right now, Fred, but and I know you're going to be focusing on this probably in the next couple of weeks, but you got to have a game plan of what you'd like to accomplish between now and June, at least that part. Do you have any idea where you might be going? Maybe you could run down a couple of things that you'd like to get handled right away.
Well, first thing, the number one priority for the labor movement, Flash, at this time, is the PRO Act, the Right to Organize Act. The PRO Act is the top of organized labor's agenda, and I'm proud to announce that last week, after meetings with Speaker Pelosi and Leader Schumer, this week, the PRO Act will be changed to the Richard Trumper PRO Act, which I think is a testament to the work that Richard Trumper did in terms of trying to change labor law, to have labor law reform in this country, which we haven't seen a change in the labor laws in over 40 years. So our number one focus will be to pass the PRO Act and then to start building toward the 2022 midterm elections. Look, we have to increase our margins in both the House and the Senate if we're going to be successful getting this president's agenda through, which is a pro-labor agenda. So our two priorities is, number one, to pass the Richard Trumper PRO Act, and then number two, to make sure that we're coalescing and starting to build a political program to make sure that we support candidates that support working people in this country during the midterm election. So we have a lot of work to do. We have a lot of work to do. And, the historical nature of this is I am just so honored to be working with the first female president of the American labor movement in Leah Shuler. She's smart. She's articulate. And she's tenacious. I mean, she's going to do very well. She's a very strong voice for organized labor, and this is just an exciting time. And they tell me that a African American never held the position of Secretary Treasurer. So I'm just honored to be holding the highest position that African American have ever held in the American labor movement. So, we're an unconventional team, to say the least. Mm-hmm. And Leah Shuler and I are truly a team. We're going to run the Federation as a team. And, and like I said to Liz, we're an unconventional team, and these are unconventional times. So look for us to do some unconventional things to move this labor movement forward.
Well, when you think about it, the Federation, for the first time, has no white guys in charge. And it's pretty much a reflection of where America has been going. So that is a good thing. I mean, we have to do everything possible to be diverse and to promote diversity in this country, because we're all in the same boat together. And how many times, Fred, you and I have had conversations, civil rights and labor rights, they're intertwined, aren't they?
Absolutely. And the good thing, Flash, that I want all your listeners to know, this was last Friday at the Executive Council meeting when these officers were put up for a vote. You know, it was unanimous. I mean, we have the support of the building trades, the public sector, all the private sector unions, because, you know, all of the unions of the AFL-CIO, all of the affiliates know that we have to be united at this moment and we have to move this agenda forward. So, you know, that was an honor to me that all of our colleagues coalesced around us and are in full support of this team.
That's what you call solidarity, my brother. That's real solidarity. Absolutely. There. Good stuff.
Absolutely.
One more question. I know you're busy here. Organizing. We have seen a huge uptick in organizing. And you mentioned political organizing and making sure we get the right people in office. That's important. But I can only assume, and maybe you can elaborate, as far as moving forward into next year and the years after that, I mean, let's just continue the trend that we're on right now. And I think the pandemic showed that. Wasn't that pretty much the case there, Fred?
Well, the pandemic definitely showed it. It expressed the workers. You know, first of all, the value of workers became evident. I mean, it was workers who really kept this country going during the pandemic. Our brave nurses who went to work every day. Our firemen, our police, and, you know, our people in the factories, you know, continued to produce the products that was necessary to sustain this country during the pandemic. So there was an uptick in organizing. And let me just say this, organizing is going to be a key priority of this federation going forward. We need to pass the PRO Act to make it the environment more conducive for those workers who want to organize into a union to organize without the threat of intimidation from their employer. And then we need to address this issue of this so-called right to work, you know, which was really created during the Jim Crow era in order to divide workers in this country. So we're going to be calling together the affiliates. We're going to have a very serious discussion very soon. Okay, very early in this administration, we will be calling together the Executive Council to have a very serious discussion about organizing and how we move forward to reach out to those unorganized workers who served a vital, vital role during the pandemic and will play a vital role in terms of ending this pandemic. So organizing is definitely a priority of this administration.
Very good. Well, I like that. The Richard Trumka PRO Act. That's the official name of the PRO Act now. Good stuff. And certainly well-deserved. No doubt about it. That guy fought all his life for workers to have a better life, better wages, better benefits, and so on and so forth. Pensions, you name it all. All right, my friend, you take care. I am so happy for you. And I'm going to check in at the end of the week and see how clean your room is. How's that sound, okay?
Sounds good. Okay. Hello. You can't reach me at the hotel, try me on the cell phone, because you can't reach me at the hotel. That means that I got my point through.
Okay. Take care, my buddy.
All right. All right, Flash. Thank you.
Fred Redmond, the new Secretary-Treasurer of the AFL-CIO. If you're just tuning in right now, it's because Unite Here is mounting a campaign to make sure that Hilton cleans their hotels, and that's where Fred is staying every day. They want to cut back cleaning services. It's ridiculous. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Peter Dooley will be joining us on behalf of the organization National COSH. This is a group that deals with safety and health, and we'll be talking about workers dying on the job in extreme heat. That's coming up next.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
The United Auto Workers are one of the largest and most diverse unions in North America, with members in virtually every sector of the economy. Learn more about this proud sponsor of our program at UAW.org.
The Heat and Frost Insulators and Allied Workers are proud to be a title sponsor for America's Workforce Radio. The Insulators Union is leading the way in the mechanical insulation industry, fire stopping, and infectious disease control. Regarded as North America's energy conservation specialist, these professionals are known for their professional work and dedication. You can learn more about the Insulators Union at insulators.org.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
Millions open a My Social Security account every year so they can prepare for retirement. Social Security, securing today and tomorrow. See what you can do online at socialsecurity.gov.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And don't forget, we're available on five platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, as well as Pandora. And when you get an opportunity, just take a minute, sign up, receive our shows on a regular basis, and give us a rating. We'd appreciate a five-star rating, of course. Let's go to line number two right now and welcome Peter Dooley. Peter is with the Arizona Coalition for Occupational Safety and Health. And there was an event last week, it was done virtually, calling attention to Arizona's heat crisis. And it's not just Arizona. I mean, there's a lot of states where you see temperatures 115, 120, and you see farm workers collapsing in the field. Well, last week they wanted to call attention to that crisis and what needs to be done about that. And Peter was in the middle of it all. Hey, Peter, thanks for joining us today.
Great to be here with you, Ed.
And Peter, by the way, is a certified industrial hygienist and safety professional with over 40 years experience in the field of workplace health and safety. So, Peter, I guess this is being called a speak out, which you did last Thursday. Can you explain what actually happened, who was involved, and what you're trying to accomplish? Go ahead.
Well, we had worker testimonies from several kinds of workplaces, attesting to the problems that heat has caused workers in their industries, whether it was construction, any kind of outdoor or indoor work that workers have been made ill, or there's worker fatalities every year in Arizona related to getting overexposed to heat on the job.
Well,
and there's a this is a national crisis, as you mentioned, and there's at least 40 workers that die each year as a result to working in hot environments, whether it's outside or inside, or drivers also have a big problem with heat.
And Peter, it's only going to get worse with climate change, right?
Absolutely, and it is getting worse every year. This last July was the hottest month in July on record, and that those records are being broken all around the country, and workers are suffering as a result of it.
Okay, let's talk about the rules and regulations, and I understand there's nothing nationally dealing with, like, heat exhaustion. I'm just wondering, on a statewide level, let's use Arizona. Do they have any kind of a government agency that deals with something like this? What do you know about that?
So there are no standards in place to protect workers from heat currently in Arizona. There is a, we have an Arizona Occupational Safety and Health Administration called ADOSH, but they have ignored this problem as most states have done around the country, as well as the national OSHA. And in fact, every year when we look at worker fatalities during the Worker Memorial Week in the end of April, we find worker deaths that have occurred that often don't get any citations or any fines to the employers that allowed those conditions to exist. And it's really important to know that although heat is probably the oldest known work-related hazard, it's very, very preventable from happening. Yet there's no requirements, specific requirements for employers to protect workers against this ancient hazard.
I mean, when you think about this, they can take breaks, provide water on the job. This is not rocket science here. I mean, there's very simple things that can be done to protect workers. And from what I'm hearing, they're not doing that, are they?
Exactly. The prevention aspect of heat hazards on the job have been known for decades. There's a whole science around it, and it does involve very reasonable approaches to making sure that workers have access to adequate breaks, water on the job, shade, air conditioning, cool rooms to cool down, all kinds of very, very accessible methods to protect workers.
Mm-hmm. Peter, is there any testimony that you can share with us at this speak out that happened last Thursday that really stood out? And obviously, there's many, many stories on there. Can you reflect on one for us?
Well, yeah, there were several. One was a incident that happened in a work setting where they were setting up for a big event, a big outdoor event. A worker was overcome by the heat on the job, and he had gotten ill, and it has never recovered after that, which happened several years ago. There were testimonies about day laborers that have had conditions where they didn't have enough water, they didn't have shade, and it resulted in illness. And there was a case cited last year with a worker who was working construction, digging a ditch. He died, and it was in early June, and he died, and his the outdoor temperature was 109 degrees. His body temperature when they found him was 118 degrees. So these kinds of situations are well documented. We've had a postal worker who died while delivering mail in Arizona. There's all kinds of stories that occur every single year that virtually get ignored without learning lessons from this tragic problem that we have.
That's amazing. A body temperature of 118 degrees, which is 20 degrees higher than it should be.
20 degrees higher. My God. Peter, another question here. The national organization known as OSHA, Occupational Safety and Health Administration, it's my understanding that they are working through this right now. They don't have anything, any kind of guidance. And from what I heard, maybe you could fill in the details, they won't have any, have anything until October. Is that right?
Well, they October would even be a sort of a surprise. They have it on their docket as an issue to deal with in the future, but they have no specific plans. And this is an issue that is coming if there's a groundswell of of demands from workers and activists around the country to be dealing with this issue, and it's been in place for specifically the last 5 years, but it's been in place for decades, and we've gotten to a point where we need action and protection on this issue.
Boy, you're not kidding. Can't speak enough about it. All right, Peter, we're going to leave it on that note. Peter is with National COSH. That's a national organization dealing with safety and health. You can find more information at koshnetwork.org, koshnetwork.org. I'd like to stay on this issue, if you'd be so kind. I know you've got people all around the country dealing with this. And when it comes to workers, I mean, safety is number one. If you're not safe on the job, what good is the job? I mean, you want to get up in the morning, go to your job, finish the job, come back, and enjoy time with your family. But in many cases, that's not able to happen because of the poor working conditions that so many people have to work under. So, Peter, thank you for joining us today. Again, that website is koshnetwork.org, and please keep in touch, all right?
We're very happy to be part of the program.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Greg Regan on behalf of the Transportation Trades Department of the AFL-CIO.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as healthcare and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at BoydWatterson.com.
Union members need to be heard. Reliable and convenient union voting has never been more important than it is now. Make voting easy for your membership by working with Survey and Ballot Systems. SBS offers encrypted and monitored solutions that ensure your elections are accurate and accessible for every member through mail-in, online, and in-person voting. Visit SurveyAndBallotSystems.com and take the next step in getting secure and auditable elections.
Mesothelioma is a rare type of cancer caused by exposure to asbestos. If you are exposed to asbestos and have mesothelioma or lung cancer, the trial lawyers at Kelly & Ferraro may be able to help you. Find us at KellyandFerraro.com. Kelly & Ferraro, trial lawyers.
Have you mixed your pain meds, your sleep meds, your allergy meds? Call the Poison Helpline. Has your child eaten a tube of toothpaste, a chip of paint, a wild mushroom? Call the Poison Helpline. Have you been bitten by a spider, a snake, an insect? Call the Poison Helpline. Poisonings can happen at the home, on the job, or in the great outdoors. Call the Poison Helpline first for fast, free advice from medical professionals. Call 1-800-222-1222 anytime, anywhere. 1-800-222-1222. Save the number, save a life. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle, real simple, AWF Union Podcast. AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the Ohio Federation of Teachers. You can find them online at oh.aft.org. We are having some difficulty linking up with our third guest on the show today. That would be Greg Regan, who's president of the Transportation Trades Department of the AFL-CIO, which consists of 33 unions that together represent workers in all areas of transportation. Greg was going to talk about infrastructure. We have that bipartisan infrastructure deal. Also, Liz Shuler becoming the first female president of the Labor Federation. That vote came on Friday, and she will have that position at least until June of next year. And in her slot as secretary treasurer, Fred Redmond was announced that he will take over once he transitions from the steelworkers. And we had Fred on the show as our first guest today. Fred is a great guy. I'm so happy for him. And he's been with the steelworkers. Well, he's been a steelworker since 1973. And he was the vice president of human affairs there for the last, oh my gosh, at least a decade. And good guy. Real happy about that. And he announced on the show, and Greg is going to talk about the PRO Act, that the PRO Act over the weekend, Nancy Pelosi announced that it'll be called the Richard Trumka PRO Act, the Richard Trumka Protect the Right to Organize Act. And of course, Rich passed away a little over 2 weeks ago. So that's going to be done in his honor. Now, one of the things that Greg wanted to talk about is the autopilot features. And Tesla, the guy that runs Tesla, Elon Musk, is a multi-billionaire making a whole lot of money and very anti-union. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But last week, the National Highway and Transportation Safety Board announced a formal investigation into Tesla's autopilot self-driving features. Since 2017, the government has opened 30 investigations into Tesla crashes involving 10 deaths, which clearly shows that Tesla is kind of like doing this trial by error in using humans as crash dummies. Greg is quoted as saying the latest investigation into Tesla's autopilot system shows what we've been saying for years: the lure of new technology cannot take precedence over the safety of the American public until self-driving technologies are carefully regulated with strict safeguards in place. Corporations like Tesla are held accountable. Unproven AV technology has no place in our roads. Amen to that. You may recall, this was about 3 weeks ago, President Biden invited representatives from the largest automakers to the White House for the signing of an executive order setting a goal of having 50% of new cars sold in the United States be electric by 2030. The order also includes goals of improving charging infrastructure in the United States, spurring domestic manufacturing and union jobs in the sector. While the big three automakers of Ford, GM, and Chrysler attended the meeting, one major player in the domestic electric vehicle market, Tesla, was absent. While Tesla is currently the global leader in the making of zero-emission vehicles, they have been extremely anti-union. In fact, they were found guilty of union busting in March. According to the White House press secretary, Jen Psaki, it would seem that Tesla's decision to keep unions out of their workplace was the reason they were not invited to the meeting. And this is what she said. Well, we, of course, welcome the efforts of all automakers who recognize the potential of an electric vehicle future and support efforts that will help reach the president's goal. And certainly, Tesla is one of those companies. Today, it's the three largest employers of the United Auto Workers and the UAW president, who will stand with President Biden as he announces his ambitious new target. But I would not expect this to be the last time we talk about clean cars, the move toward electric vehicles, and we look forward to having a range of partners in that effort. This is still Psaki speaking. When she was later asked if they omitted Tesla from the event because they're not union, she said, and I quote, well, These are the three largest employers of the UAW, so I'll let you draw your own conclusions. In the White House statement, they said that the goal of the order is that once-in-a-generation investments will position America to win the future of transportation and manufacturing and create good-paying union jobs, dramatically expand American manufacturing, make electric vehicles more affordable for families, and export our electric vehicles around the world. Now, Biden is hoping that with this executive order, he'll be able to jumpstart the U.S. EV industry as other countries like China are quickly catching up. The president has been a big proponent of electric vehicles, including debuting the new Ford Lightning and including a plan for a national charging network in his infrastructure bill. At his State of the Union, Biden called out the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, saying the American Jobs Plan will put engineers and construction workers to work building more energy-efficient buildings and homes, electrical workers, IBEW members, installing 500,000 charging stations along our highways so we can own the electric car market, he said. And then he went on to say, for too long, we have failed to use the most important word when it comes to meeting the climate crisis. Jobs, jobs, and more jobs. Now, in a statement from the UAW, the union said they support a plan to build these vehicles domestically and an investment that allows U.S. automakers to catch up with their European and Asian competitors. We must be ambitious, not just about retaining good union jobs, but growing them, and about expanding U.S. manufacturing of electric vehicles from parts to assembly. It is incumbent that these future jobs will be good-paying American union-scale wage and benefit jobs that protect salaries and our critical health and safety standards, the union said. The members of the UAW, current and future, are ready to build these electric cars and trucks and the batteries that go with them. Our members are America's secret weapon in winning this global race. That is why we stand with the president and support his ambition, not just to grow electric vehicles, but also our capacity to produce them domestically with good wages and benefits and the right to bargain, and urge Congress to seize this opportunity for the sake of working people and our country's future. While union automakers were meeting with Biden, Tesla is facing more worker issues. This time, it's a huge payout to Melvin Berry, who sued the company claiming racial discrimination. Get this. Berry sued Tesla, saying that the company failed to stop a supervisor from allegedly hurling racial slurs at him. An arbitrator has ruled that Tesla must pay Berry over $1 million in damages. Berry began working for Tesla in 2015 as a materials handler, but left 2 years later after a supervisor who was half his age frequently called him the N-word. When Berry reported the racial harassment, he claimed the supervisor retaliated by making his already laborious duties even more strenuous. This isn't the first time Tesla has faced claims of racial harassment, with workers referring to factories as the plantation, and workers say they're often referred to as cotton pickers. One individual said, I was directly called the N-word approximately 100 times at the factory in Fremont. I heard the terms N-word used over 100 times by coworkers and my lead, Augie, in the Tesla factory, claimed former Fremont factory worker Aaron Craven in a sworn statement that was part of the 2017 suit against the company. Wow. Lots coming out now. All right, that's it for another edition of America's Workforce. Coming up tomorrow, our independent labor voice, Tom Buffenbarger, and we bring in the iron workers from New England. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group.
Find out more information online at labortools.com.